John Desenberg, policy director at the Performance Institute, not only listened to it on my show today, but took it in person as it happened yesterday. And, John, welcome to the program. Glad to have you on again.
Well, thanks for having me, Francis.
Glad to do it. What does it mean that the administration thinks that performance is significant enough that they want to create this job of chief performance officer, at least to you?
Well, you know, what it means is that people are paying attention to Washington. And, you know, when things were going real well, you know, when the Performance Institute, for instance, got going in 1998-99, we had to constantly define what the word transparency even meant. And today, obviously, that's not the case. The president uses it seems like every day. But you know, due to things like Hurricane Katrina, of course, 9/11, and so many other things that have happened over the last 10 years, people are now very focused on whether or not government can do what it's supposed to do and whether or not it's competent to get the job done.
What is your takeaway from Mr. Zients' confirmation hearing yesterday?
Well, you know, there was a lot there, but, you know, you're spending an hour on it today on the radio, and I applaud you for that. I wish Congress had spent, you know, quite frankly, a little more time on this, because this is very important. And when you have three senators there at the hearing, you get the feeling that they may not understand quite how important this is. And specifically, what I thought was perhaps missing yesterday, most importantly, was a little bit of a conversation on how Congress and the appropriators specifically can start to use more performance data to make better budget decisions. Because, honestly, that's what I hear from federal executives and managers every day, which is, you know, we're taking this seriously, but we're not sure Congress really is. And that was, I think, significantly missing from Senator Lieberman and Senator Collins's comments yesterday.
Senator Akaka was the third senator that you referred to there, and he is the chairman of the Subcommittee on Oversight of Government Management, Federal Workforce, and District of Columbia. So obviously, with that committee assignment or subcommittee assignment, has a vested interest not only in Mr. Zients himself, but in performance overall, because he'll be the first person that digs into some of these issues if it turns out that that there are some issues they have to pursue. Is there something that's different about a CPO in this administration from what the last administration or the Clinton administration did as far as performance? Does the title make a difference?
You know, I think that the title makes a difference, but more importantly, what the president says and does even makes a bigger difference. And for instance, the unveiling of data.gov this month, I think, is a major step forward on transparency. And you're starting to see a real theory on these issues with the administration, which is get the data out there, let people see what we're doing, and let them start to use the data, make sense of the data, and start to analyze the data, and make the public part of the conversation. And I think that is the major, major difference between President Bush, who certainly was interested in performance, but it was kind of an inside the beltway issue. It was less about transparency. It was more about getting better results, but it was done from an internal management perspective. This administration's focus is on the collective wisdom of all Americans, and that means transparency, and that's a real shift.
It really is amazing to see how people are using data.gov already, and there's not nearly as much data on there as Mr. Kundra and Mr. Chopra would like to get on there, as not nearly as much as they're promising over the next couple of months.
Well, you know, and that's true. I think that the administration does have to be careful, and let's you know, pay attention to the fact that they're coming up to some deadlines on where they have said they would be, and now we're coming up to some of those dates. October really is just around the corner for what they want to do with recovery.gov. So I think, you know, they are making some promises on transparency, and we're going to be watching closely at the Performance Institute, and hopefully we're going to be, you know, helping as much as we can to make sure that they can fulfill a lot of what they've already committed to.
John Desenberg is policy director at the Performance Institute. He's my guest on In Depth with Francis Rose, and we got to take a break, John, but when we come back, I want to ask you about where you think Mr. Zients, should he be confirmed, it looks like he will be. As you said, only three senators attending. That usually is a good sign of a non-controversial nomination. Where we might go and what we might see coming out of this job and this portfolio over the next couple of months / year or so. We'll do that when we come back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Here's Ron Bechtold, Department of the Army Chief Information Office, G6, on the Federal Executive Forum on Secure Cloud Computing, sponsored by VMware.
How do you incentivize a reward mechanism to adopt cloud technologies? I mean, we have a lot of folks, what I call iron huggers, who have measure their sense of self-worth based on the number of pieces of devices that they own or the number of headcount that they have in their organization.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Did you know that federal agencies can build their own internal clouds with existing infrastructure? When networking, storage, and servers are woven together on a virtualization platform, the resulting internal cloud helps agencies reap dramatic benefits without dramatic changes. More than 120,000 customers are virtualizing mission-critical IT resources with VMware today. Learn more today at thevirtualizationexpert.com.
And now the Federal Acquisition Spotlight, provided by Noblis.
Acquisition is a team sport. As Congress and the administration focus on future acquisition reform, the present challenges remain. How to coordinate the efforts of diverse and often geographically dispersed teams and get them across the acquisition finish line successfully, with a great outcome that's within budget and on schedule.
A cohesive framework for successful acquisition includes contracting authorities, program offices, and industry. Noblis acquisition experts help agencies work across organizational lines to deliver successful government acquisitions. Tying it all together is the Noblis AccuTrack tool, now available on the MOBIS schedule. When acquisition needs to be fast, effective, and transparent, turn to Noblis. Noblis, a nonprofit science, technology, and strategy organization, helps government and business solve complex problems. When the stakes are high, turn to Noblis for the best of reasons. Noblis.org.
The Armed Forces Update is brought to you by KBR, delivering support to help the U.S. military achieve its mission objectives.
Call it USO in a box. Soldiers at Forward Operating Base Shank in Afghanistan became the first to experience the portable recreation center contained in a metal box. It holds a big screen TV, telephones for calls back home, two computers for email access, and three video game consoles. Eventually, 10 of the units will be sent to Afghanistan, 10 more to Iraq. Soldiers who have used them call them a little piece of home. I'm Max Kakis.
KBR provides solutions to the U.S. military in support of your requirements across the globe. With more than 60 years of field-tested experience, you can count on KBR to deliver the support you need to meet your mission objectives both at home and abroad. From logistics services to construction and infrastructure support, KBR has the resources and the unwavering commitment to support you whenever and wherever you need them. For more information, visit KBR.com.
Hi, I'm Elsa and I'm 7. I have brittle bone disease and I have been coming to the Children's and at the National Institutes of Health since I was 4. The Children's and always makes me feel at home. I get to play with other kids and stay with my mom. If you want to help kids like me, please give to the Children's and through the CFC.
CFC number 10324.
Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is John Desenberg. He's the policy director at the Performance Institute, and we're talking about the confirmation hearing yesterday of Jeffrey Zients to become chief performance officer and deputy director for management at OMB. And where do you see this going now that we have somebody who, as we said before the break, appears to be non-controversial? His confirmation looks to be pretty certain. Let's assume that he is confirmed over the next week or two and is ready to go to work at OMB. John, where do you see him going first, tackling first?
Yeah, you know, a couple things on that, Francis. You know, number one, you have to look at Mr. Zients' background, and at the Corporate Executive Board, he really made his mark spreading innovation, bringing best practices together, and we're already seeing that starting to develop. A matter of fact, some of the budget examiners at OMB have been in contact with the Performance Institute, and we're working with them on what's called the MAX community, and I know you've heard about that, and I know many of your listeners have, but that's an online community, and they really are trying to bring out best practices in performance management, trying to tell some stories, trying to get people engaged and interested in what others have done successfully and really spread best practices. And that's really, I think, where Mr. Zients has shined in the private sector. And we see that coming to OMB in a big way over the next 3 to 6 months. You know, one other area I wanted to just touch on is the fact that performance measurement does not just sit in isolation. It touches on things like the workforce. And today I had the opportunity to be on a panel with Congressman Jerry Connolly, and we spoke quite a bit about both telework and pay for performance. And both of those issues require that managers have good performance measures in place for their employees, and that the organizational measures kind of cascade down to every individual so that, for instance, with telework, there are some objective indicators for what people are supposed to accomplish and what they're supposed to be accountable for so that they can then be free to do the work wherever they want to do the work. And that's a major issue around telework, getting those measures in place. And pay for performance, much the same story. We've got to, before we rush into changing the pay structure, we really have to help managers and employees work on performance measurement. So these issues don't just sit in a box by themselves. They really reach many, many issues around government.
Yeah, it's fascinating to me. You've just hit on three or four of the hot button topics that we talk about on this radio station regularly and made it very clear how they're really all totally interconnected.
You know, it's performance based, and let's not stop there. I mean, OFPP, the procurement situation, about 5 years ago, there was a lot of talk on performance-based contracting, but it kind of didn't go where people were hoping it would go. And one of the reasons it didn't go there, and people are still stuck kind of in the old paradigm of time and materials contracts, was because the measures weren't good. The measures that people were using with their contractors really weren't effective. They weren't getting to those outcome measures. So many, many things that Mr. Zients is going to touch, from procurement to the workforce, individual pay, they all come back to performance measurement, and that's what I think the wisdom is in making him the chief performance officer.
About 30 seconds left, John. Talk about a little bit more about the event you were at this morning. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller was there. He'll have more details on the daily debrief this afternoon and tomorrow morning on the Federal Drive. But just give me a little snapshot of what that was all about.
Well, I think one thing that Jason actually thought was newsworthy, and I do as well, is that Congress realizes that they've got to become more engaged here. It's not enough to have the White House doing this on their own. If we don't connect it to the appropriations process, we're not going to move this forward. So there are a group of, the Blue Dog Democrats, the fiscally conservative Democrats on the Hill, specifically in the Budget Committee, are moving a piece of legislation forward that would require formal program evaluation so we can see whether or not these programs are really effective. Are the strategies working? Let's not just reappropriate and reauthorize programs until we know whether or not they're working.